All right, thank you. Appreciate you giving me last Sunday off. Just don't deduct it from my paycheck. We did have the privilege of going back up in the country where we pastored for 3 years. I pastored a year and a half while I was still in Bible college. And then we moved up and lived on the field and pastored the church for another year and a half. About almost exactly total ministry of 3 years. And so it was a treat for us to both go back kind of, I was at another church just a few miles from the actual building we were in, a friend, Brother Emery King, many of you know him, doing a great job there. And his homecoming, he has been there 44 years. So talk about faithfulness. We praise the Lord for that. He went there shortly after I came here. And so a lot of the people that we also ministered to, and a lot of them that we reached for the Lord Jesus Christ, knew we were there, so they came by to see us. So it was a real blessing. Different ones come by, and of course memories with every one of them. Some of them I led to the Lord personally, and I got a story behind every one of them. One whole family that was there was reached because I reached the son the night I called on him out, kind of out in the woods, but not near as deep as I was going in the woods that night before it was over. But I was taking him through the plan of salvation and showing him how he could be saved and know he was saved. And he was living in a mobile home, and just about the time, you soul winners know what I'm talking about the time I was getting ready to pray with him, big loud knock came on the outside door, and he got up and opened it, and I could see by the expression on his face it was bad news. There was a guy standing there, found out he was very quickly that he was half drunk, and he had some kind of dirty mouth, and he kept saying to John, the man I was witnessing to, "Who you got in there? Who you got in there?" And John, I was sitting at the table, and the man couldn't quite see me around the edge of the door. And John said, "Nobody, go on, I'll talk to you later. Who you got in there? Who you hiding?" And finally burst on in the entranceway, and John said, "This is Brother Carter, this is the preacher." He said, "A dirty blankety blank preacher in your house." Well, I'm gonna tell you, he used some words, some big ones, some colorful ones. And he started saying, "I wouldn't have a sorry preacher in my house." And he just, "You know, I thought better of you than this." And so you got to remember, I was younger then, and I had about all I wanted to. So I started answering back, and John was a nervous wreck. See, what he knew was this guy had been out in prison. This guy had done some bad stuff, and he knew I didn't know that, and he thought I was fixed to be number two on that guy's list. So we go around and around there a little bit, and John says, "What do you want?" He said, "Well, I'm leaving town. I want to sell my tools to you." John said, "Where are you going? Where's your wife and kids?" He said, "They're home. I'm leaving that blankety-blank woman." And that kind of stirred me a little bit. And finally, he called me another name, I forget, worthless or something. And I said, "You know what's worthless? It's the fellow that'll sell his tools and get out of town, leave his wife and kids hungry." I just jumped on his case, and I began to read his mail to him. And John was nervous. He thought, "Oh, this is fixing to happen here." Story's longer, but I'm going to just tell you this. I said, "That's a dirty rascal." He said, "Well, what else can I do?" I said, "You can get saved. If you get saved, maybe your wife and kids would get saved." Well, and next thing I knew, John told me, don't do it. But he said, "Well, go home and talk to my wife then." So I followed his old rickety truck with my car out through the woods by myself. And now up there they have big, beautiful oak trees, and the moss just hangs down. But you ever seen any horror movies when they're taking you to the haunted house? And you're driving out on, that's exactly looked like where I was going. And sure enough, have you ever seen, did you remember the funny papers? Oh, I know I'm teaching you science now, but back in the day where they had Snuffy Smith in the, did you ever see his house? That's where we went. And whenever we pulled up in the yard, he jumped out, slammed the door on that truck, headed up the steps. It was cool weather. He reached over and got a piece of wood. I was hoping he was going to put it in the fire. And the old dog on the front porch jumped up and run from him. I mean, the dog didn't like him, was afraid of him. We walked in. His wife was sitting on a couch in front of the fireplace. He threw that piece of wood on the fire. And he sat down on the other end of the couch and he said, "This hen's the preacher." And I started talking to him. And about that time, the doorway had a blanket holding over it to the bedroom. No door, but just a blanket holding over it. And about that time, I saw the blanket move and two little old faces peeped out behind the blanket, two kids. That set me off. Still does. I told him, I said, you rascal, you need to get saved for those kids' sake. And I sat there on the couch. Before it was over with, I had them together holding hands, praying the sinner's prayer. They came on to church and got baptized, and we ministered to the family for a good bit. So those kind of things was a blessing for me to go back and see the whole family of John. I couldn't win John that night. I had to go back to get John. But I did. And as a result of that, the whole Harris family, I mean, Grandpa, I mean, Mom and Dad, I mean, the kids, I mean, who the kids married, all that family got saved. And many of them were in the, not many of them, but a number of the Harris family was there to see us. And so it was kind of a joy for Sonia and I to go back. And of course, we had dinner on the ground, on the big oak trees. They have big ones up there. And it was really, really good, really a blessing. Folks asking about us and all. One lady that didn't really know us, I don't know how it come up. She said, "Do you know your anniversary? Do you know the date of your anniversary?" I said, "Sure, we just celebrated 65 years just a few days ago." She looked over at my wife and she said, "You must have taken her when she was in kindergarten to raise." Now that was a compliment for my wife, but it wasn't a good compliment for me. I understood that. But I kind of responded. I said, "Yeah, she was young. I did have to finish raising her. But I've done a pretty good job. I probably could have given more spankings, but other than that, I can't think of anything I've done wrong." And so we had a good time, just a good time in the fellowship with the folks. And I appreciate being off. Let's go to 1 John chapter 3. We're going verse by verse and chapter by chapter. John wrote the book of Revelation under the inspiration of God as God gave it to him. And before that, he wrote these other books, 1st, 2nd, 3rd John, and of course the gospel that we often say according to John. And so we're moving into chapter 3. These first three verses are really powerful for us. We remember John is dealing with us as in the family of Christ, in the body. And so he's dealing and talking to us. He's not talking to the lost world. He referenced it every now and then. He referenced the Antichrist already in the spirit of Antichrist, which we're certainly dealing with today. But here he is on the inside with us. And these first verses, how good they are. Think about it. Behold. Now that word simply means stop, look, listen. If they put behold on the railroad track, then that would be what the railroad track signs now, you know. Stop, look, and listen. And so behold, what manner of love. Now, what manner of love? We can't totally define. It's so great. What manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, who? In the family. Those that are saved. Us. That we should be called the sons of God. Now you think about that. That fellow at the door called me some sons, but it wasn't Son of God. We hear all kind of talk and terrible stuff today, but we are sons of God. Do you think about that? You think about that when you're having a bad day? Think about these verses. Here's an encouragement right here. We are called the sons of God. Now here's a negative. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Now think on that. Why does the world not know us? Because we don't belong to their family anymore. We're in a different family. And the world don't know us because it don't know God the way we know God. Amen? I was watching Fox News the other night, which I don't watch the other channels. I can hardly even take the bad stuff that comes on Fox News, but it's the better of the bunch. Anyway, I can't call his name right now, but a man that's kind of substituted a little bit. He's on there every now and then. Got a very conservative. He started preaching, and I mean, he preached what he preached. I would be glad for him to come right here and preach that word for word. That's how good he preached. He told the whole story. And he said the only hope for America is revival. Amen. I mean, you'd think he was a preacher. The man that came on behind him said, man, that was good preaching. Well, it was. It really was. And he played a little clip of a well-dressed woman. I started to call her a lady, but that wouldn't be fair to all the ladies. But anyway, a well-dressed woman, far as a wealthy look might go, she came on there and she said, I am tired of you people pointing to the Bible. I don't care what the Bible said. I don't care what your God says. She just had a raging attack. And then he came behind and he said, no, not God. I mean, he identified her. That sort of thing. That's where we're living right now. And the contrast has never been greater. I mean, it's a big contrast right now. This world, they keep talking about it being divided. Well, politically, yes, but more than that, divided against anything godly. It's an anti-God crowd out there right now, anti-righteousness, and it's growing all the time. And so, no, they don't recognize us. Yes, we are sons of God. Think how great that is. Call the sons of God, and the world knows us not, because the world knew him not. It's always been a reality between saved and lost, but never has it been as like it is today. In America, especially. In America, I'm talking about. Part of that, we need to understand that, because our kids have been raised with anti-Godism. They've been raised where the Bible was a bad book that couldn't be in school, where prayer couldn't be offered and all that. And with all that come, we're reaping the crop now that's been planted for a number of years. It's come up to fruition. Do you understand the, we used to call them hippies. I guess now they're street people or tent cities or whatever else. But in the early days, in the early days, we would have the hippie movement that came along, and there was a big division then, but nothing like it is today. Now, the ones that were so-called hippies on the street were the philosophies they got out of the universities. They didn't get it from mom and dad. They got it out of the universities. That philosophy, now they're in office, and they are putting that philosophy into practice. And that's what we're having. We're different. We don't fit in the world. Somebody asked the great evangelist, D.L. Moody, if I get saved, will I have to give up the world? He said, if you really get saved, the world will give you up. And that's the way it works. All you got to do is let it be known that you know the Lord, and you've become a target. Do you understand now that our powers that we used to look to protect us and protect America have now been weaponized against God's people? There's more than one incident happening weekly where the FBI is knocking on doors of people without an arrest warrant and charging them It is amazing. I had one lady on TV the other night. She said it was about daylight. My young daughter came in. I was still asleep. And she said, "Mama, there's three FBI agents at my door." She says, "I thought the kid was joking." She said, "Mama, they got guns." They had to show them or the kid wouldn't have known they had guns. So she go to the door with her house robe on, and sure enough, three agents, they're there because somebody called them and said this woman was at the January 6th meeting, Trump meeting, what they call the riot at the White House. That was all a setup, big setup. Amen. Only one killed was an innocent woman, and that no police investigation over that. Amen. Anyway, she said, "I had to go to the door." And then she called her husband, and he came home, and they proved with their calendars and records that she was not there on January the 6th. She was not even in Washington, D.C. Now, what happened to being innocent till proven guilty? Think on that a little bit. All of a sudden, if I don't like you, I can pick up the phone, call the FBI, and say he voted for Trump. He talks against the government. See, if I show up missing around here, it's because somebody listening to the radio picked up the phone. I'm probably giving some idiot the idea right now. A false charge, no proof, can get you hassled and even jail time. Backwards from what our Constitution. Our Constitution says we are innocent until proven guilty. That you have a right to face your accusers. What's happened in our country? We are moving into what some of the, even the liberal theologians are saying, we are into a post-Christian society now. Post means after. In other words, Christianity is gone. It's fading out. And so they're calling it post, past. I got news for them. The greatest part of it's ahead. But they don't know that. This next verse talks about that, really. We're called the sons of God. The world don't know us because of that. Then he says here, beloved, and that's personal to you and I if you're saved. Beloved, now are we the sons of God. All right, and the other verse said we're called the sons of God. He says, I want you to understand it's not that you'll be a son of God after you die, but now are we the sons of God. And it doth not yet appear what we shall be. Uh-oh, I was talking to some of the ladies back there. Have you seen this business coming out? And I'm deviating some, but it needs saying once in a while. Any parent that lets their kid be part of this TikTok thing on the social media platform. Do you understand TikTok's out of China? Do you understand that the Chinese authorities will not let the Chinese kids on TikTok? But they sent it to America. They got a purpose behind it. It's to seduce and brainwash and destroy our young people. So if folks, there was life before a cell phone ever came. And it was a better life than what we're seeing now. We got folks living in cyberspace now. That's their world. They can't breathe without it. They're addicted to it. While it's a great tool used right, the devil is gaining on it and using it all the time. TikTok is one of the platforms that you should never let your kids on. Never at all. And on TikTok, what is being taught in kindergarten on up now is a little boy can become a little girl if he wants to, or a little girl can become a little boy if they want to. But it didn't stop there. Nothing ever stops, right? That's as bad as it could get, you'd think. Now they're teaching there's as many as 100 genders. 100 genders? All right. Let me go a little further. This is stuff that's been on TikTok. I flashed some pictures the other night about it. Do you know if you want to be a little frog, you can declare yourself a little frog? And it showed a little girl trying to dress like a little frog in the classroom. She chose the gender of being a frog. Do you know you want to be a little kitten, little cat? The classroom will help you identify with that gender. They'll even put you a litter box in the classroom. You think that's far out? It is far out, but that's where we've moved to.
the reprobate mind that the Apostle Paul describes a heathen generations, heathen nations having. Romans 1, turned over to a reprobate mind. That's where we're at. 100 genders. Now, sooner or later, I don't know. When I was a kid, we had kids that were smart alecks. I might have been one of them a time or two. I can imagine some of the teenage boys I went to school with having fun with this thing. Can't you? I had some friends that crossed the line probably a few times. I remember had a big old dictionary in one classroom, big one, big old Webster, and sitting on the table. And we were assembling in the class. The bell had said change classes. We walked in. One of my buddies, who was a policeman's son, by the way, the teacher was trying to call law and order. Everybody get in your seat. Everybody be quiet. And Kelly spoke up. He called the teacher's name. I won't use it. He said, "Did you say drop it?" And the teacher said, "Yes, I said drop it." He didn't know Kelly had picked up this great big dictionary. And he dropped it. Boy, it sounded like a gun went off when it hit that tile floor. "What do you do?" "You said drop it." "I dropped it." Now you say, "That's a smart little kid." Yeah, we had a bunch of them. They'd have played this stupid stuff that's going on now. They would have had some time with that. All right, you bark like a dog. Where you bark? "Well, I'm a dog today." That's crazy. That's where we've moved to, and that's the elite. Somebody says, "Who is behind the curtain pulling the strings on President Biden?" Nobody. The strings are broke. But who's in charge is what folks are asking. Don't look like anybody, but there is somebody in charge. It's the devil, and he's playing all these idiots for all it's worth against God and the things of God. That's what's going on right now. And it's too bad. But listen, this world's not our home. We already read over here in chapter 2, verse 15, "Love not the world, neither the things of the world. Any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. The world passeth away, and the lust thereof." That's what John's already told us in chapter 2. If you got hope in this world, you don't have much hope. We got some pretty good leaders. I think our governor's one of them, but they can't fight the tide of the whole system now. They hate our governor, you know that. The liberals, the elites do. Boy, I tell you what, I hope we can keep him. We better keep him. Oh, they're trying to investigate him now because he sent a bus of 50 illegal immigrants to Martha's Vineyard. Did you see that? Now, he exposed the hypocrisy of the liberal elite. It's okay for 7,000 or 8,000 a day to come across the border in Texas, and it was all right for President Biden to ship them by night, by plane, and by bus all across America with nobody knowing they were coming to every little city here and there. But when our governor decided he'd play the same game, he took 50 of them and shipped them to Martha's Vineyard. That's where ex-President Obama has his, what, $10 million house. How much? 15, all right, yeah. We've seen a picture on TV. They said we didn't have room for them. Well, you could have put them all in Obama's house and had bedrooms left over. Right? Hypocrites. Out in these cities, like, "Oh, we are a sanctuary city." New York said that. Now the New York mayor's crying crocodile tears because they sent a busload to him. I praise God for the governor in Florida and the governor in Texas doing that. That's what needed to be done. But we're in that day and age now. You're supposed to believe them just because they say so. And the whole thing is an attack against God. They don't know us, yet it was us. It was Christianity. It was the churches. It was people that believed in God that founded this country and become the greatest nation in the world. built on that foundation of our fathers that believed in God. The Bible, we still have it in the courtroom. It's just a formality, but you still put your hand on the Bible, don't you? We got a few things still left over. Now you can go in there and say, well, I won't swear on the Bible, I'll affirm. Yeah, they've changed a lot of things. And as they kicked the Word of God out and got away from God, by the way, the movement now is to take the pledge out of the flag where it says under God, one nation under God. Now they're trying to get rid of that. This is the world we're living in. The world don't know us. They don't know us because we know Jesus. They don't know us because they don't know Jesus. They don't know anything about the truth. And that's what these verses are telling us. Now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. Now, wait a minute. You say, preacher, I thought we were absent from the body, present with the Lord. We are, but it don't describe what we're going to look like. I don't think it'll be a frog or a kitten. It tells us, if we go on here, we shall be like him. For we shall see him as he is. Reality. I tell you what, the book of Revelation describes him coming back in Revelation 19, leading the armies of heaven, and he doesn't look like he does, hanging on a cross, beaten to death and bleeding. No, sir, he's not the meek and lowly Jesus that presented himself as a substitute for sinners. He's coming back with eyes flame of fire, leading the armies of heaven with a double-edged sword that goes out of his mouth. I don't know exactly what we will look like, but we're going to be all right. We're going to be like him. Think about that. Be like him. After the resurrection, he walked through the wall without any problem. He could appear and disappear. He could choose to eat or not eat. I can choose to eat now, but not eating is a problem. Understand? You probably have it too. But the thing is, when I'm like him, I'll have that perfection that he demonstrated even in the resurrected body. What are some wonderful truths that we can imagine? Just go through the scripture and say, well, what does that verse mean? We'll just go through the Bible and look it up. We'll be like him. We'll see him as he is. There's a lot of cults and isms and false information out about Jesus anymore. What he looked like, they don't know. You say, I saw a picture. Where'd the picture come from? Oftentimes an artist draws part of what he likes or wants to look like in a picture himself. You better watch out just for man's imagination. That's what we have today. Bible warns us about even having false images and idols and so forth like that. But we'll be like him. And whatever it is, we'll have that perfection. And we're going to be with him. We're going to help him rule and reign in the kingdom that he's going to set up on planet Earth. Brother, with all the imperfections of all governments today, you can't name a government in the world that doesn't have corruption in it one way or the other. Some worse, some a little better. But when Jesus sets up his government, it's going to be perfect, pure, clean. Man, what a difference. The scripture says he's going to rule in righteousness. Everybody would like to claim that's the way they're ruling, but they're not ruling in righteousness. What we're really seeing today in government is ruling for self, cutting all kind of business deals to get rich. It's amazing to me. You think about the salary of a politician that goes to Washington. If they lived off that salary alone, they'd make ends meet, but they don't take them but about 4 years and they're rich. Something under the cover going on somewhere, under the table somewhere. Crookedness, corruption, that's human nature. Folks, that's why communism does not work. Human nature is fallen. It is sinful. It is depraved. And the last of the big Ten Commandments, thou shalt not covet. Man has a covetous nature. And so give them a chance to steal, too many of them will. There's a basic honesty, but I was thinking about it a while ago a little bit. He's going to rule in righteousness. You won't have to lock your doors in the kingdom age. You won't have to carry a gun for protection. You better have one now, pretty handy. And it's going to even be more needed in the future if Jesus don't come soon. Very, very much so. I don't know if you saw it. Oh, whatever night it was, I was coming a little bit late and I was watching, you know, the news recycles. Goes around, you see the same thing again. It showed how crime in the daytime, how assaults and the bodily damage and stealing and all that is going on in the daytime. It showed a woman walking down the street. A car of three thugs, looked like bums to me, pulled up on the street. They jumped out of the car, plain daylight, ran and grabbed the woman on the street, pushed her down on the concrete, assaulted her there, and she was screaming, and no neighbors came to help. What's happened to America? The day I was raised up in there, there'd been four rabbit shotguns out there blowing their heads off. Rightfully so. Time's coming, if you don't have a gun handy, you better get one handy. Now, just for that, I can get a phone call and the FBI knocking on my door tomorrow. We're in a police state now. Can you believe that? These veterans and young men, that many of them that gave their life to make America what it was, to fight the Nazis and keep the Antichrist-type Hitler from taking over, never expected to see our country come to this. Do you know, and the Marines are leading the way right now, but more of all the armed forces, Marines, Air Force, Army, so on, so many of them refused to get the vaccine and had to give up their pensions, give up everything. The Marines, I saw the stats this week, the Marines are the greatest number that they've had to expel that would not take the mandatory vaccine. But we have had thousands, literally thousands, out of every branch of our military leave, no matter if they had in almost 20 years or not. That's what's happening to us. And even though right now there's some real big information coming out about the shots, how some of them were fake, they were not shots at all, how some of them were not tested, and some of them caused blood clots, heart conditions. And now, even in the recent paper, there was a little article saying that the Pfizer shot only lasted a few weeks. If it was a few weeks old, it lost its power. Little truth begins to leak out. Truth is slow to be received while deception rides off at a gallop real quick and everybody gets it, thinks they know what they're talking about. I got off on that again, but it's hard not to. But this is the age we're in, but we're going to leave this world. We're sons of God. Our citizenship's somewhere else. And it's not going to be long before we're going to see that happen. I believe with all my heart. We will be like him. The more you're like him today, the more the world will hate you. But listen, it's going to be all right when he comes back. He's going to know his own. And the good news is we're going to know him. Amen. And we'll see him as he is. I don't know about you, but I'm glad I'm in the family of God. I'm glad I'm a son of God. I'm glad one day all the aches and pains and this old flesh is going to be gone. And I'm going to be like him. Amen. All right, I believe my time's up.